Father, we thank you for the privilege to come together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Together around that name that's above every name. The name of our Lord and of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the great, mighty Holy Spirit whom thou hast sent to be our teacher. And we trust him to unveil, to unfold, to reveal the Word of God unto our hearts and unto our spirits. May each one of us not just be hearers of the word only, but may we be doers thereof. Hallelujah. Acting upon the word. Putting God's word into practice. For it's then that we become recipients of all that you provided and promised. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. If you have your Bibles, you can open them to the 4th chapter of Proverbs, verse 20. Through 22. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they, my words, are life unto those that find them. And health. My words are health to all their flesh. And in my Bible, King James Translation, there's a little number two by the word health. And I look over in the margin and it said H-E-B. That means Hebrew. Old Testament, of course, written in Hebrew. The Hebrew says medicine. My words are medicine to all their flesh. Now, a lot of times, and thank God for it, it works. Many times folks miss God's word by waiting on a manifestation of the Holy Ghost. Now you see, the Holy Ghost does manifest himself. The Holy Ghost manifests himself in various ways in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. The word of God tells us in the 7th verse, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. The next verse says, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, and to another faith or special faith. Or we reach down in the list and get discerning of spirits and put it up there. We might say to another discerning of spirits. Then to another faith, or as the Amplified has it, special faith, because we already have saving faith and common faith and ordinary faith. So it has to be special faith. And then to another, working of miracles. And then to another, gifts of healings. Both of them in the plural in the Greek. And to another, prophecy. To another, divers kinds of tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. And then the 11th verse says, but all of these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he wills. That is, he divides the manifestation to every man severally as the Spirit wills. So, therefore, you don't know whether it's going to work or not. You just have to stay open to God. And many times, because we've seen those, many times people wait on manifestations which may come or may not come and miss out on God's best. Because you see, the Word of God's there always. Amen? See, and he said, my words are health, or my words are medicine to all their flesh. Well, now, you know, medicine doesn't always produce an instant cure. Amen? You have to stay on it for it to take effect, you know. Take daily doses. God's word's a lot like that.
Amen.
Now, you know, when they're manifestations of the Spirit, then usually things are more instantaneous. Well, I can't guarantee you that, you know, a Spirit manifests himself through me sometimes in the word of faith, or the special faith, and gifts of healings. There's more than one gift. That's when it mentions gifts of healings. And so on. But I can't guarantee that. Because I know in times past I've prayed and fasted and waited on God, and there's no manifestation at all. Finally give it up as a bad jog. Then about that time, here come the manifestation. See, the Spirit knows things we don't know.
That's right.
Amen. And it is as the Spirit wills. Now, you see, many times folks are attracted, and God uses those. He has a purpose in it, attracted to those that are used in gifts of healings and the word of knowledge and so on and so forth. I remember hearing Catherine Kuhlman say, many times when I'm back at the platform, you know, before I go on, I'm back there just walking up, down, praying, just almost shaking in my boots. I wonder if it's ever going to work again. Don't know where it is or not. See, because not anything she did at all. It is the Spirit wills. But I go ahead and preach, you see. But then, you see, she'd only have maybe a couple of healing services a week. Had one every Thursday there in Pittsburgh, and then would go out at other times. But you see, the Word of God will work every day. See, the Word of God will work every day.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Yes. And so there are those that are specially used along that line. And you see, sometimes God will have you to, especially, you know, He'll use you. His Holy Ghost will speak to you. I've had Him speak to me and take a word of Scripture. The word was there all the time, but folks just didn't see it, to somebody. And the minute that's it, and in that case, it became a word of wisdom to them. And they acted on it and was just healed instantly. Praise God. Amen. But yet, right on the other hand, you see, that's the Holy Ghost manifest Himself. Right on the other hand, this Scripture tells us, or this portion of Scripture, or section of Scripture, tells us exactly how we could all be in health or healed. Doesn't it? I said, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Do you ever notice where gifts of the Spirit manifestation, it only works for one, maybe out of 5,000 people, might work for three or four folks? Now, why does God do things like that? As signs to get your attention so He can get you over in the Word.
Yeah.
See, the Word then will work for everybody. Amen?
Amen?
And so this Scripture tells you, for they, that last verse, just look at it for a minute and then we'll back up and start in with the first one that we read, the 20th verse. For they refers to my words. They, my words, are life unto those that find them. And health. My words are health unto all their flesh. Well, first of all, if I didn't have another scripture in the Bible on the subject of healing and health, this verse tells me right here that God wants His people to be in health.
Amen.
Amen. Why? Why does it tell us? Because it tells you how to get it. And now God surely wouldn't tell you how to get something that wasn't His will.
Amen. Yes.
For you to have. He tells you exactly how it works. And we're going to spend several days here finding out how it works. How to get it. How to get there. Anybody can. Because to whom does God's word, our words, our word belong? To a few of us? My words are health, medicine to all their flesh. Well, if God's word or words are health to how much of our flesh?
Oh.
Portion of it.
Oh.
That means from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. Bless God, it'll work. You know, you remember the young man that came from Albuquerque, New Mexico, you know, in a wheelchair. Came to school here, never had walked in his life, and his legs weren't as long as they should have been. And while he was here in school that year, he grew 6 inches. And you know what was he in his early 20s then? But see, he got on that word that started working him. He got on this medicine, glory to God. And it grew. I mean, his legs grew out 6 inches during the year. And he just so much improved. Did he get out of the wheelchair? Well, no, but he's just so much improved until it's just absolutely amazing. And he left here and went out to minister and actually got married, you know, back here at camp meeting with his wife. And he wrote me a letter here a while back. He's pastor of a church there in Albuquerque. And he said, I felt like, because I'm still in a wheelchair, yet God's done so much for me, you know, until you're almost prone not even ask Him to do anymore. I mean, it's far beyond what I ever imagined to begin with. Got a radio program there and all. And I thought, well, folks won't listen to me because, you know, I'm in a wheelchair. But he began to teach. And he's got a real group of people. And then not only that, but he said, lay hands on a sick man. Lay my hands on a blind person is instantly healed. Hallelujah. Now, you see, actually, in his case, it would take more than the healing anointing to heal him. It would take working of miracles.
Yeah.
You see what I mean?
Yeah.
Yet right on the other hand, you see, God's word's done so much for him. You think about a fella over in his early 20s, his legs growing 6 inches longer in a year's time here. That's a miracle in itself, isn't it? Praise God. See, very often God gets you started off in a certain area, and he wants you to just keep feeding, keep going, and keep improving, and he'll just keep using you. Praise God. And you learn such valuable lessons. Dr. John Lake said, I think sometimes our instant healings are a curse to us. He said, people go away, you know, and, well, that's it. You never see them. They're like those 9 out of those 10 lepers. Never heard from them anymore. Only one of them returned to give thanks unto the Lord. But you see, when folks are gradually healed, they find out God's word just by taking their medicine every day and staying on it. Yeah. Glory to God. They can stay in health. Then they learn a valuable lesson. And they learn to walk by faith. Hallelujah. All right, Len, let's back up to that 22nd verse, or 20th verse. My son, and that means daughter too, you know, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. That means incline the ear to what I say, what I had said about it. Now, how can we ascertain exactly what was secured to us or what belongs to us? Well, there's only one way, and that's by a constant, careful, diligent, reverent, prayerful study of God's word. And every one of those words I spoke are important. They're so important, I want to reemphasize them. I said, first of all, how can we ascertain? How can we ascertain if healing and health belongs to us and has been secured to us? By constant, not just a hit and miss thing. Not just for a day or two and then to give up on it and forgot about it for a month or two. Constant, careful, diligent, reverent, prayerful study of God's word on that subject. You know really how lacking we are along this line. Some of us, I had to, not everybody, but some of us had to go right down to the brink of the grave before we did that. Well, thank God we don't have to be careless about it. We can be diligent, and we should be. All right, let's look at it. What does it say? First of all, number one, attend to my words. Now, what does that mean, attend to my words? I use this illustration very often. Suppose you see a friend on the street, just comes walking, you know, real swiftly along. You stop them, want to talk to them, you know. Well, wait a minute here, I want to talk to you. Well, I'd like to talk to you, but I should have been here at this place of business 10 minutes ago. I'm running 10 minutes late. There's some business there that I must attend to. Now, what did they mean? They meant, I've got to put that first. Well, what did God mean then when he said, attend to my words? He meant, put my words first. Do you ever notice people, though? They run around and get everybody's opinion in the country on situations instead of listening to what God said. Put his words first. They put the other person's words first. What the doctor said, they put that first. Well, sometimes you have to listen to what the doctor said, all right, but you don't necessarily have to put it first. Amen? Are you listening? See, you need to know. Sometimes folks, I think, even make a mistake just endeavoring to trust God by not really finding out what's wrong with them, going to the doctor, find out, then they know what exactly what to put their faith on. I've seen people that just struggle for days and weeks trying to get healed and didn't. Went to the doctor. Now, not necessarily that they were just planning on having medical treatment. Sometimes that's necessary. But they went to the doctor just to find out, what is wrong with me? Now, I know some people, to their utter relief and great relief, found there wasn't anything wrong with them. They just run down. You know, fatigue, wore themselves out. Well, now, folks like that need to do more than believe God. They need to correct the situation. Amen? I mean, if you know, you couldn't just take a hammer and hit your nail, and about time it got well, hit it again, and then wonder why God didn't heal it. Well, it's not going to get well as long as you keep knocking the nail off with a hammer, is it? And you see, a lot of times in life, folks are doing things, you know what I mean, that they need to slow down a little bit. Your body's still mortal. How many of you found that out? Amen. You don't have a new body yet. Thank God we will get one of these days. Won't that be good?
Yes.
Amen. But I don't have that new body yet. I'm going to take care of this as best I can. Amen. Well, but on the other hand, I know people that when they find that struggle for days and weeks, endeavoring to believe God and to appropriate healing, and they found out what's wrong with them, put their faith right on, a matter of 2-3 days as well. They knew exactly what to believe for. Now, I don't know why. I can't tell. A lot of things I don't know. Is there anything you don't know, or you know it all? I'd like to see you if you do, so maybe you can help me. No, I don't know. But you do learn from experience. I know in ministering to the sick, a lot of times the Spirit of God will tell you what's wrong with folks. And then when we started believing right on that line, then they were just, well, some of them instantly healed. Some of them before the day is gone, it's all right. It's perfectly well. Soon as we knew what to believe for. See, sometimes we're just endeavoring to believe for healing in general. Well, you know, that's almost like sort of believing for salvation in general. You gotta accept Jesus person as your own Savior and Lord. Amen? Praise God. So that's why sometimes. But now wait a minute here. Attend to my words. See, I believe reading these verses are talking more about health than they are healing. However, it'll work for you to get healed, but also work for you to stay healed. So, when that person said to you, I'd like to talk to you, but I have some business that I'm running late, some business I must attend to, they mean I must put that first. I believe when God said attend to my words, he means put my word first. Secondly, I believe this, that means undivided attention. Undivided attention. That means other things out. See, we pay attention to everything else except his word. Other things out, God's word in. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now then, notice the second statement here. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Now notice that both words and sayings are plural. That means more than what God said just one time. Plural. Incline your ear to my sayings. Incline your ear unto my sayings. Well, God may say something to your spirit. Very often he does. If he does, incline your ear to his sayings. And I believe again that ear here means more than just this ear. It means the ears. The inward man's got ears too. And a lot of times folks get in trouble physically because they don't incline their ear to his sayings. Now, it means first of all, it means God's sayings in this book. See? First of all, it means God's sayings in this book. But then secondly, it means whatever God said to you. Incline your ear to his sayings. If you want to walk in health, you incline your ear to his sayings. I remember a number of years ago, I was doing quite a bit of teaching seminars and so on and so forth, full gospel businessmen. In fact, I finally did so much of it until I said, well, I'm teaching and preaching for full gospel businessmen and doing a little something else on the side. Very, very little else. And so we had been to a regional convention in New York City, my wife and I. We drove by those days by automobile when they put on the 55 mile an hour speed limit. Well, we quit that and went to fly. But we'd always take books along, you know, and so on. And so we're coming back now from New York City. They'd have the convention over Thanksgiving time each year, and it's beautiful, you know, the trees are turning through the mountains of Pennsylvania and so on. Just marvelous. And I knew, in fact, I said to my wife, I'm going to have to, because why? I sensed in my spirit, you see. See, what's he saying to your spirit? Don't mean it's in the words necessarily, yet he's saying something to your spirit. See, a lot of times people say, well, I knew I ought to have done that. Well, it's no words, it just had an inward knowing. Or I knew I shouldn't have done that. I think more times we say that. I'm not by myself, am I here? No. See, I knew I shouldn't have done that. Well, he was saying something to us. It wasn't in words, but our spirits picked it up. So I said to my wife, I'm going to have to do some things differently. And I knew some of us, and I'm going to have to not, wonderful people don't misunderstand me, treat us well, we enjoyed it immensely, but I'm going to have to not do so much ministering, full gospel convention, full gospel benefits conventions, and so on and so forth. I'm going to have to curtail that. I'm going to have to go a different direction. Now, I sensed that in my spirit for 2 years and didn't do anything about it. Didn't do anything about it. Well, see, that was his sayings. That's what he was saying to me. I said, that's what he was saying to me. I said, that was what he was saying to me. Incline your ear to my sayings. And so, here we are, 1970 then. In Upper New York State, went up there, to Syracuse, August the 13th through the 15th. Full Gospel Business Men's Convention in Syracuse, New York. And then, by prior arrangements, we're going to stay up there for 6 months and speak at Full Gospel Business Men's banquets and breakfast meetings, and then have a seminar in cooperation. They're not supposed to sponsor it, but they cooperate with it. And they set it all up for you and did it all, And we're going to have a seminar, teaching session, with each one of them for small chapters. We'd be there 3 days, a larger one's 5 or 6 days. Sunday's the only day we had off. We'd travel Sunday to get to our next appointment. So we checked in on the 6th day of September to the Holiday Inn, Buffalo, New York. Holiday Inn just off of the thruway there. Unloaded the car, and I'm unloading the boxes. Now, I got sick. I finally staggered into the room, the last box, and almost fell on the floor. Really fell across the bed to keep from falling in the floor. So I was going to fall, just pass out momentarily. And my wife, when I did fall across the bed, she jumped up and ran over there, and whatever she's doing, what's the matter? I said, well, I'm sick. And I guess, really, that's the first time she'd heard me say I'm sick in all of my married life. Because I hadn't been sick, you see. And I always, if I was attacked, which I was sometimes, well, I'd always just act on Mark 11, 23 and 24. That's the way I got healed to begin with. And so I acted on Mark 11, 23 and 24, did everything I ever did before, and got no better fast. No better fast. Well, to make a long story short, not going into all of it, I'm just emphasizing one particular point here. I had to, before I could get my healing, start inclining my ear to what he's saying to my spirit. See? I said, see? Amen. Now, it wasn't just like the Lord said to me. He didn't make me sick. When you get over into disobedience, you get on the devil's territory. And he's just waiting to attack you. Amen. And so, I believe that this verse, when it said, incline your ear to my sayings, that it means, all right, first, incline your ear to these sayings in this book here. But incline your ear to what he's saying to you in your spirit. So like Dr. Hicks said, he was preaching over there, in Australia 2 or 3 years ago. And he was there in their summertime, our wintertime, which is their summertime. And they don't have all the air conditioning, very little air conditioning, and churches, no air conditioning at all, no heat. Actually, we was over there and preaching over New Zealand. It's colder in New Zealand than it was in Australia, a little further south, And we were there, my wife and I, and it was cold. And I mean, people, no heat in the buildings. But they came on, wrapping up in coats and blankets. I think she got a blanket or two, and I don't know, she's about to freeze. But they came right on because they got no heat in their churches. And so, no air conditioning, it's hot, So he preached, and he said he kept getting dizzy. Just kept getting dizzy. And time two, almost, they just held on the pulpit and keep him falling almost, behind the pulpit. Well, you appropriated all the scriptures and made all the faith confessions, said everything. Finally said, Lord, I've done everything I know to do, and I'm getting worse instead of better. I mean, I'm just, What's the matter here? And he said, just as plain, Holy Ghost said to my spirit, incline the ear to my sins. Said, put a little more salt on your feed, food. See, he was perspiring a whole lot and hadn't been used to that, you know. And he said, I just began to put a little more salt on my food, you see, because he needed that. In the heat and all. And he's all right. Amen. Now, I've actually had the Lord to say to me, see, then you'll have to work out your own salvation. I can't work it out for you. But I've had the Lord to say to me, now don't do this. For instance, certain foods, it's all right, or drink. Don't drink any tea now for the next, till I tell you to. Well, I'm not a coffee drinker. I'm a tea drinker, you see. But don't drink any tea. So I just didn't drink it for a while. And after a while, he said, now you go back and drink it if you want to. Well, I listened to that. Amen. Why? He knows more than I do. I know another minister friend of mine. I was holding a meeting. We were talking about some of these things. He said, you know, I had chronic headaches for years. And all the time I'm preaching healing, laying hand on people, and they're getting healed. And I finally just went to the Lord, just spent some time in his presence, said, Lord, you know, I this is not right. We just have these chronic. He said, just the plain spirit of God said, we don't drink any more coffee. He said, you know, the very first morning I left that coffee off, I didn't have any headache. I've never had a headache since then, and never drunk any more coffee. Well, now that doesn't mean it affects everybody that way. But if that's where he's getting his headache, if he wants the headaches to stop, then he'll have to stop that. Different things will affect different people in different ways. I believe that has a lot to do with inclining your ear to his sayings. Now, what if he hadn't inclined his ear, said, well, I'm just going to believe God anyway. He would have kept his headaches. I'm just going to believe God to heal me. Well, in the first place, he didn't need that anyway. There's no food value to it. Now, I'm thoroughly convinced that if there's something that has food value to it that you need that doesn't agree with you, that you could believe God and he'd correct the situation. I'm not only convinced of it, I know it. I remember, here's where I really started exercising faith. I'll tell you the truth, I know the first time I exercised any kind of faith at all after I was born again. I was born again on the bed of affliction, sickness. And so the doctor puts you on, of course you're bedfast, and you have to have a soft diet, and so on. So my grandmother said, because see, I'd live with my grandmother on my mother's side ever since I was a little kid. I'd been there before, but lived there from the time I was 9 years of age. And so she said to him, doctor, could he have, because he didn't have coffee on there, either coffee or tea, really. Could he have a cup of coffee for breakfast? Well, no, I don't want him to have that. Not at all, no. Well, she said, now he's drank coffee all his life. Now when he's a little kid, drink more milk with it than you did coffee. But as you got older, up there around 9, 10, 11, 12 years old, well, you drink it just like Grandpa did and the rest of them, you see. Oh, well, said, if he's used to it, okay, just go ahead. Well, now, she didn't know because, you see, the year before that I became bedfast, I lived with my other grandmother for a year on my daddy's side and went to school. I lived there purposely to go to this particular school. I drank coffee every meal, I mean, for breakfast, no other time. And I got up one morning, had my breakfast, as usual. And just about time I got up from the table, I turned deathly sick at my stomach. Oh, boy, you're so sick, you know, you almost wish you could die. You're just too sick to die. I mean, acute indigestion. You ever have acute indigestion? Woo, you're sick. And I thought, God, it had to be something I ate because, you know, I wasn't sick before. And what is it? Well, I left this off, and I left that off. Didn't affect me. I was sick every time. So finally, I left the coffee off. I'm all right. Fine. So I said, well, that's it then. So I decided maybe I got sick because I drank too much of that on the empty stomach in the morning time. I know what I'll do. I'll wait, eat my meal, then just drink the coffee. I drank the coffee, got up from the table. By the time you got away from it, just in little ways, you're just deathly sick. I decided maybe if I just sup a little bit along, you know. And I tried that, I'm deathly sick. So I just quit it. Well, now you see, this grandma didn't know that what had happened here at the other grandma's house and that I had quit. So here she comes with the tray, you know. I said, well, I don't want that coffee. Yeah, doctor said it'd be all right. He didn't tell me. She explained to him that what she'd said to him. I drank that cup of coffee and like to have died. And I never touched another cup of coffee from that day to this. Well, I learned that I was reading later on in Reader's Digest that caffeine, there's 5% of the people that caffeine will give acute indigestion. And I guess I was one of them. Well, now, why didn't you just believe God that that wouldn't hurt you and just go ahead and drink that? Because I had enough sense at 15 years old. I had enough sense to know that I can't believe that. You don't need it anyhow. No food value to it. See, people not only need faith, they do need some brains. You know, thinking capacity. Now, right on the other hand, there were two items, really three, but two main items on that list that that doctor wanted me to have. In fact, he told me personally, if you don't eat anything else, I want you to eat this. And I didn't eat that. I don't know why. I just didn't have an appetite for it. I just pulled my nose. Make me sick in my stomach. But you see, they brought the tray then. Now, this was on the noon meal, see. They brought the tray to the table, to the bed. And so I just, here's where I first started exercising faith. I prayed. I said, now, Lord, the doctor, he should know. He knows these things. I don't. But he said, this is good for me. I need it. It's good for my body. Something about me that's allergic to it, you see. But he says, I need it. So I'm going to ask you and believe that that will not affect me in any way, shape, form, or fashion, because it always makes me sick. But see, it's food value. The other is no food value. And then not only that, but because of the reaction to it, you develop a reaction against it, you know, a dislike. So I'm just going to ask you to create within me a love, in other words, a hunger for this food, these particular items. You know, it worked. That's the first thing I ever believed for. Didn't know you could believe for your healing then, but I sure believed that wouldn't hurt me, and it didn't, because I needed it, you see. That's a different thing entirely. Now, what am I saying? Incline your ear to his sayings. Incline your ear unto his sayings. I mean, incline your ear to what he said in this book. But he may be saying something to your spirit. Amen?
Amen.
And you know, if you had time, you could almost preach a month here. You think about a lot of things that have happened to people because they didn't listen to God. You think about the... I know people personally, you know, that you've... you know, you're praying with them. And thank God for his great mercy. Yet right on the other hand, things happen a lot of times that under some circumstances, God forgives you, certainly he does. But you have to realize that under some circumstances, there's some things you reap the rest of your life. Are you listening to me? I said under some circumstances, not all, but under some circumstances. Because now here's a fella that's thoroughly saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, and thank God he's saved today and filled with the Holy Ghost, living for God. But some things went wrong. Actually, he had some problems with his wife, and they had family problems, and she left him. And, you know, you can get under depression and all messed up. And like he said, if I'd listened to God, I wouldn't have married her to begin with. But he didn't listen. So he went out and got drunk and had a car wreck. Maybe today they might have, but then they couldn't. And they had to take off part of one of his legs. Well, he's still alive today and living for God, but he's still reaping the results because he's having to get around on a way of back yonder. It wasn't too good a leg. Now then, they've improved him a whole lot. But way on back yonder, you know, about all you can do is just get you a peg leg. The time I'm talking about is depression days. That's about all you had was a peg leg. If you had anything at all, you'll just swing yourself along between two crutches on your good leg. Well, you see, he's reaping results of wrongdoing. Because if he hadn't have missed God, and if he hadn't have got drunk, he wouldn't have had the accident, and he still had his leg. And really, like he said, it goes on back to the fact that he said that if I'd listened to God, I never would have married that woman to begin with. Well, anyway, this man probably, of course, like he said, if I'd listened to God, evidently he knew in his spirit. Evidently God was saying something to him in his spirit. But you see, and of course, God wasn't responsible for him missing it. He's responsible. So incline your ear to my sayings. What's he saying to you? Amen. Amen. Now one, we could, you know, you could just keep on here. I remember here at an alumni meeting, one of our Rhema graduates came to me and said, you know, Brother Hagin, he said, sitting right here towards the end of school a couple, 3 years ago, why, he said, I was just sure all the time I knew what God wanted me to do is be an evangelist. And he said, something kept talking to me about being a pastor. And I thought it was the devil. Said, I'd rebuke the devil. Get thee behind me, Satan. And he said, so we, my wife and I graduated. We went out, you know, in evangelistic work, holding meetings, teaching and preaching and so on. And he said, we was out there miserable. And when you get miserable, you get hard to get along with. And the two of them weren't doing too well with one another. And he said, finally just got down to bed and got to praying about it. And God told me to pastor. And I think he went back to his hometown, if I'm not mistaken. And he said, I didn't know. I'll tell you, for the past 2 years, he said, 2 years have gone by. It just seemed like it's 2 months. Just slipped by. We're the happiest people. Our marriage is fine. We're happy with one another. But see, when you get all out of kelter, you're just out of kelter in everybody and everything. But he said, we're just so happy. And he said, God all the time was trying to talk to me, and I wouldn't listen to him. And he said, oh, I spent all that miserable time out there. Incline your ear to my sayings. Glory to God. What's he saying to you? What's he saying to you? All right, let's get back to this putting the word of God first. However, the written word. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto what? My sayings. Open your ears to God's sayings. Close your ears to all others. Notice the word where it says incline. Incline thine ears. You say, well, I don't understand. You don't have to. But thank God, just bow down before him and say, thy word is truth. I believe it. Amen. Incline thine ears unto my sayings. Well, I'll tell you what let's do then. Let's look at God's sayings. Isn't the word of God, this written word, God's sayings? Why not? Let's examine some of them. It'd take us forever, you know, to get through all of them, but let's examine his sayings. And incline our ears to his sayings. Now let's turn over to Mark's gospel, for instance. The gospel according to St. Mark. Jesus is the Word of God. He's called the Word of God. Don't you remember that he said, the words that I speak unto you, they're not my own, but they're my Father's. Don't you remember the book of Hebrews, the very first chapter, the very first verse said, God, who at sundry times in divers manners spake unto our forefathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by his dear Son? Yes. Jesus is God speaking to us. Yes. Then his sayings are God's sayings, aren't they? I said, aren't they? Yes. All right, let's look here for a moment. Here in the 9th chapter of Mark's Gospel, let's begin to read with the 14th verse. And when he, that is Jesus, came to his disciples. Now you see, he'd just come from the mount where he is transfigured there, you know, with the Peter, James, and John was with him up there, you know. And there appeared Moses and Elias, or Elijah, and spake to him. And so when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, what question ye with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. So he couldn't talk, we know that. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. So we know then that he had some kind of seizures, didn't he? And I spake to thy disciples, and they could not cast him out. He answered him, Jesus answered him, and said, O faithless generation. Faithless means without faith. How long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. That is, he had a spell. He had some kind of a seizure or something. And he asked his father, that is Jesus, asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. So he must not still be a child, it's his son. But he said it came on him as a child. So he must be grown now then, because he's not a child anymore. And oft times it cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. That reminds you of what Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief has come but for to kill, to steal, and to destroy. Amen? Amen. And oft times it cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Now look at verse 23. That's the one I want you to get. Incline your ear to his sayings. The words that I speak unto you, Jesus said, are not mine, they're my Father's. So this is God's saying. This is God's sayings. And Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To him that believeth. How many things?
All.
Well, that has to include healing, because that's what this man came after, was healing for his son. But it would have to include healing, or else it wouldn't be all things. It'd be all things but one. How many things?
All
things. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Now get the connection here. The man said, he told him the story, brought him to thy disciples, they couldn't cure him. Oftentimes he falls into the fire, oftentimes into the water. If thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. I like to say it this way sometimes. The man just sort of threw the thing over in Jesus' lap. In other words, and you know, that's what people do today. A lot of times just put it off on him. You know, well, it's up to him. But I like to put it away. Jesus immediately put it right back to him. In other words, he said, it's not so much a matter of what I can do, it's a matter of what you can believe.
Yes, yes.
If thou canst do anything. In other words, if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Yes. Jesus is saying, it's not so much a matter of what I can do as it is what you can believe. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Now, you understand, of course, that that man wasn't a believer. He wasn't a Christian. We are believers, so we know we can believe because we're believers. But we can learn something here. I said we can learn something here by inclining our ears to his sayings. You see, that man never been born again because Jesus hadn't died yet for his sins. See, the scripture said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God raised from the dead, you'll be saved. That man hadn't had that experience because Jesus hadn't been raised from the dead. He couldn't believe Jesus had been raised from the dead. He hadn't been raised. Amen?
Amen?
But thank God we do. We are believers, see? So he said, the man straightway, the father of the child, cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. How can you have belief and unbelief? Well, nearly all the time you believe in your heart, but your head tells you something else, don't it?
That's right.
I said, doesn't it?
That's right.
Or your physical senses tell you something else? Yes. Amen. Amen. That's what he meant. Hallelujah. Well, the scripture said, and Jesus saw the people come running together. He rebuked the foul spirit, sent him thy dumb and deaf spirit. So we know now that he's dumb and deaf, as well as the seizures. I charge thee, come out of him, enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. Now, the thought I wanted to get to you is, though, this saying. Incline your ear to my sayings. Well, this is one of them. If thou canst believe, all things are possible. Glory to God, to him that believeth. Well, yeah, that's my problem, though, Brother Hagin. I don't have any faith. I have people for the last 50 years say that to me. I immediately say to them, well, why don't you come to the altar and get saved then? Well, I am saved. Well, if you're saved, you have faith then. Because Ephesians 2:8 said, by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourself. It's a gift of God. So then you are a believer. Amen?
Amen.
I said amen?
Amen.
Then I can believe. Not a matter if I'm trying to believe. Well, I'm trying to believe. No, I am a believer. That's who I am. Would somebody ask you, are you a man or a woman? Well, you'd feel insulted if he's a man. Said, well, I'm a man. Of course I am. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Well, when the Bible tells me something, I just know it's so, don't you? See, we need a reverence for God's Word that I don't think most folks, Christians, don't have as they should have. Reverence God's Word even as you would reverence Him, the person of God. Amen? He's magnified, the psalmist said, he's magnified His Word above His name. Amen? Reverence His Word. When God's Word tells me something, I believe that. That's God speaking to me. And when He tells me that I am a believer, I know I am. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So then, all things are possible to him that believeth. How many things?
All
things. All things. All things. And in this case, because we're talking about healing, then incline the ear to God's sayings. Yeah, but my problem is, well, see, first they'll say, well, I don't have any faith. And then you say, well, why don't you get saved then? Oh, I've been saved for years. Well, how'd you get saved without faith then? All the rest of us had to have faith. Because the Bible said in Ephesians 2:8, by grace are you saved through faith. Well, well, I am a believer, all right. I do have faith, but don't I have enough? I know, that's what I've had to do. You know, I don't have enough. Now, if I had enough faith, I know I could be healed of this. Well, I always say to him, did you ever stop thinking about it? You've already believed for the biggest miracle there is? You can't believe for anything bigger than a new birth. Think about that. In the new birth, you're recreated, born again, become a new creature in Christ Jesus. And it was your faith. It was your faith that received that. It was your faith that created that. Amen. That's the biggest thing you could ever believe for. The Bible talked about Jesus himself said, this is another one of his sayings. He said, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? See, it's more important that folks be saved than anything. That's the important thing. That's first and foremost. Well, you've already believed for the biggest miracle you could ever have. I mean, if you was totally paralyzed and got healed, it wouldn't be near as big a miracle as when you was born again, become a new creature. Because, you see, you became a brand new creature, a brand new man, the inward man on the inside. Still got the same body. We'll have a new body one day. But a brand new man. You got healed promises. You didn't get a new body, just the same old body you had. Just got healed. Not near as big a miracle. You've already believed for the biggest miracle there is. Minister friend of ours, my wife and I, older minister, going to be with the Lord now. But I don't know, she's somewhere around, 72 or 3 years of age at the time. And she and her husband, driving along, the other person's fault, they pulled out of a side street right in front of them. Stop sign, but they didn't stop. And they're on a main thoroughfare, and they just ran right into this person. Well, her husband's driving. Like she said, I tried to put the brakes on. There's no brakes over there on the right-hand side in our American cars. And see, that sudden impact drove one of her limbs back up in the pelvic about 2 or 3 inches. And so at her age, the doctor said, well, you know, at your age, 70 in the early 70s, you just have to live with that. I mean, nothing be done the rest of your life. You know, you just have to go along there with a limp and with one leg short and the other. And so she said, I don't know why. Here she was, an ordained minister of the gospel. Been in the ministry for 40 or 40 some odd years. Seen people heal, laid hands on them. Husband laid hands on people. Marvelous ministry of healing. But somewhere or another, she got it in her mind. And you know, that's what whips us a lot of times. We don't bring every thought into subjection.
Amen.
To Christ. Don't care how good people we are, how wonderful we are. And somewhere or another, I got it in my mind that it'd take a lot of faith to get that to grow back out, that leg, you know, to pull back out there. Now, if it had been a younger person, they would have probably put them, you know, some weights on them, you know, and put them in bed, and they'd eventually a little bit maybe pull that back out somewhere or another, something, you know, whatever they do. But at her age, they said, well, there's nothing you can do. I mean, you just, that's it. Well, she was in a meeting where a minister and evangelist was preaching. And he is, after he'd preached and folks gone to the prayer room, he is laying hands on people, suddenly stopped right in the middle of the prayer line, healing line. And he said, there's a woman preacher here. It's got one leg shorter than the other one. And she's thought, it'd take a lot of faith to get that leg straightened out, I mean lengthened out. But he said, do you ever stop to think about it? You've already believed for the biggest miracle there is, a new birth. If you come up here, I'll pray for you and you'll be instantly healed. Well, she said, I waited, you know. Finally, nobody responded to it. So she said, finally, back in the crowd, I lifted my hand and said, well, I am a woman minister, all right, and I do have one leg shorter than the other. And I did say that if I had enough faith. See, some people are hard to convince, bless their hearts. I mean, it fits them to a T. I did say if I had enough faith, I know that could, you know, I know it's possible. But I didn't know whether I was the one or not. And so the evangelist said, well, we'll find out. Is there another lady minister even in the service? And especially a lady minister with one leg shorter than the other. If there is, lift your hand. Nobody lifted. And he said, well, you must be it. She said, well, I guess I am. That's where I believe helped my unbelief. So she marched down to the front. Because see, my wife and I saw her before, and we saw her after it. She marched down to the front and was instantly healed. And she said, the thing I saw was this, that he's right. Here I've been saying, if I had enough faith, and I've already believed for the biggest miracle there is, why, dear Lord, the Lord recreated me and made me a new creature, a brand new man, brand new woman. Hallelujah. Why, that little old thing, my, don't mount anything. Instantly, see? See, that's the thing, wrong thinking. Just human reasoning defeats us.
Yes.
I tell a lot of times about the lady, you know, in one of the western states that came to my meeting, and I really didn't realize she's that old, didn't look that old, but she told me she's 72. And she stopped me on the way out from a morning service and wanted me to pray for her. And I said, what for? Well, she said, Brother Egan, I have high blood pressure. And high blood pressure, a lot of times it'll affect your heart or affect your kidneys. And it affected her heart. And the doctor just despaired of her living. And so she said, I just wanted you to pray that I'd have faith to be healed of this high blood pressure and this heart failure, heart condition. Well, to get her attention, I just said very flatly, I'm not going to do it. She said, you're not? I said, no, ma'am, I'm not. She said, you're really not? I said, no, ma'am, I'm really not. And she said, well, I saw she didn't know what to do, so I said, aren't you a believer? Oh, yes, yes, she said, I'm a believer. Well, I said, who ever heard tell of a believer that didn't believe? And I didn't realize then, but I found out later, too. I said, just suppose that you had a son, a grandson, which he did, way in college, university. And you would write him every so often. Every time you wrote him a letter, you always put a P.S. on that and said, don't forget to breathe. Be sure and keep on breathing. Well, I said, if he's not breathing, it ain't going to do no good to tell him to. I mean, he's beyond help. No, you never think about telling him to breathe because he is alive. He's breathing. See, you are alive unto God. You're a believer.
Yes. Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
That's who you are. That's what you're doing right now is believing.
Yes.
As well as breathing. You're believing, aren't you? You're a believer. Praise God. You are a believer. By grace are you saved through faith. I said, you have faith? Take that same faith and believe. She sort of looked at me, you know, sort of started and said, well, you know, I'm a believer, aren't I? I said, you sure are? Yeah, 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 yeah. She said, I am? Yeah, yeah, I'm a believer. Turned around and walked away saying, I'm a believer. Now here she is in the healing line. So when I laid hands on her, I perceived that she did not have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now she's born of the Spirit. So I just said it this way. You don't have the Holy Ghost. Now she understood my language. I didn't mean she's not born of the Spirit. I mean she's not filled with the Spirit, speaking with tongues. She said, no, I haven't received yet. And so I'd already laid hands on her and prayed for a healing. So I just laid hands on her and said, be filled with the Spirit in the name of Jesus. And she just lifted both hands, started speaking fluently. Just started speaking fluently in other tongues. Never stammered or stuttered, said a word in English. Now, the point I'm making is that she didn't realize it, but she had faith all the time if she just inclined her ear to God saying. Did you ever stop thinking about that? He didn't even say in these three verses, Proverbs 4:20, 21, 22, it doesn't say a word about believing.
That's right.
It said, incline your ear to my saying. Now, why? If you incline your ears to his sayings, you will believe, or you'll know that you are a believer.
Oh, that's good.
Can you see that?
Yes.
Can you see that? Hallelujah. Don't know whether it helped you or not, it preached me happy.
Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Incline ears to my saying. So the woman, this older woman, she told me she's 72, was healed and filled with the Holy Ghost and had faith all the time, didn't know it. But when she began to incline her ears to God's sayings, it worked for her.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
And then years later, we was preaching, my wife and I, in Amarillo, Texas. We had a meeting in a motel ballroom there. And after the meeting one night, my wife said, that looked like Sister So-and-so's daughter, one of her daughters. Now, of course, the lady, her daughter now 65, 70 years old, because we figured it up. She would be, if she's still alive, would be 95. And so I said, yeah, my wife said, I tried to get to her, but I lost her in the crowd. She got away. I said, yeah, that was her. That was because we had met her, see, when we were there preaching those years before. And so the next morning, then in the morning service, the crowd was smaller, and my wife got to her and then brought her up to me and said, you recognize her? And I said, yeah, sure, Sister So-and-so's daughter, so-and-so. And so we asked her about her mother, because, you know, everybody don't live to be 95. She could have gone home to be with the Lord. Oh, yeah, mother's still alive, just doing well, just doing fine. 95, I said, you know now, Brother Sister Hagen, she's 95. Yeah, we said, we figured that up, she'd be 95 now. Well, she said she has quit driving her car at night. 95, still driving her car. Just stopped at night. Said that, you know, she'll get somebody else to drive her to church on Sunday night. She won't drive. But otherwise, she drives her car herself. 95. 72, the doctors despaired. Said she got her blood pressure, they just couldn't control it. And her heart's failing. She's not going to live much longer. But she's 95. Woo! Glory! And the blood pressure, you know, had to get taken care of or she wouldn't be here at 95. And the heart. Well, now you see the dear one. Pray for me. I'll have faith. She is a believer. That's who she is. Say it out loud, every believer. I am a believer.
I do have faith.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And
all things
are possible
to him that believeth.
Now, of course, he said that in connection with the healing of this boy. Now, some folks bless their hearts. You know, I don't like to get on the negative side, but you have to sometimes to help some people. I've tried to be diplomatic, but you can't. You just have to be blunt. Some people take just what you say and misapply it. See, all things are possible to him, believeth. Now, I still got my red Bronco. One of our board members gave it to me about 3 or 4 years ago to drive when there's snow and ice on the roads, you know, in the wintertime. And I got to drive it like so well, just kept driving that. Well, now one day somebody sat right here in this room and they're going to claim, because all things possibly I believe, they're going to claim my red Bronco. Well, all things possibly I believe, I heard you say it, so I'm just going to believe that you'll give me that red Bronco. Told me that personally. Well, that is ignorance gone to seed. See, anybody with any sense ought to know better than that. I mean, if he wants to believe for a red Bronco, believe for his own red Bronco. Don't believe for mine. See, actually, he's violating the Bible. The Bible said for you not to covet your neighbor's wife.
That's right.
Or his... anything of his.
Yeah.
Amen. His oxen or his ass or his horse, bless God, or his mule or whatever conveyance. Well, that'd mean car too. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
Don't covet that. Amen?
Amen.
Now, if you don't believe God, believe one for your own. Don't believe for mine. I'm going to keep my red Bronco. Still got it. Still got it. Well, then all things are not possible. Yeah, all things that's important are possible. That's stupid. But people will sit right there and get the wrong idea. And nearly every year the school starts. Bless, I know, because they come and talk to me personally. Nearly every year. Haven't this year, and probably won't now, but as I'm telling this, with you here particularly, I mean you won't. But there's some girl, she'll look across there and see old John Henry. And in the distance, he looks pretty good. Said, I'm just going to claim him for a husband. Yes, sir. Brother Hagin teaches you can have what you say, and all things possible in him to believe it. So I'm just going to believe. But right on the other hand, John Henry may be looking at Alice May. Across over there, and at a distance, she looks pretty good. Sometimes you get up close to him, it don't look so hot. And he's going to claim her, because Brother Hagin teaches you can have what you say. And I really don't teach it that way. But anyway, and all things are possible to believe, so I'm just going to believe for her. Or like one fella, bless his heart, saw a woman in the choir. Yeah, he told me and my wife, he's getting married. Yeah, I said, getting married. Talking faith, you know, you got to be back right confession. Yeah, I said, I'm getting married. My wife said, when? Oh, I said, don't know when. Well, who? I said, well, don't even know her name. I said, I thought you were getting married. Well, I said, I've claimed her. I saw her singing in the choir. Yeah, sitting back in the car. I saw her up there in the car and claimed her. My wife said, well, you ought to get to know her. I mean, have you? No, he didn't even get to know her. Hadn't even shook hands with her. You know, just saw her. You know. Well, you get up close to her, she may not look so good. Amen. That's the truth. That's the truth, yeah. But no, you can have what you say. And all things pop in and believe. And I just believe. Well, she looks good to me. I'm just going to claim her. Well, you might get acquainted with her and you may not even like her at all. She may look pretty good on the outside, but be ugly on the inside.
That's right.
Amen. So all these silly things, you hate to even have to mention them among intelligent people. But you have to try to help those that are not so intelligent. The Bible said, comfort the feeble-minded. So if I can be any comfort to you, what will I? Amen. Anyhow, praise God, amen. Amen. Incline, everybody say incline.
Incline.
Your ears.
To my sayings.
Hallelujah.
For they.
My sayings.
Are
life.
Unto those that find them.
And they.
My sayings.
Are health.
To all their flesh.
To all my flesh.
To all.